see this number tonight, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 9th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, Matthew chapter 9. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're delighted to have you with us and consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. In the book of Matthew in the 9th chapter, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. If you have your Bible tonight and you want to underscore a phrase, underscore, Jesus passed on. I want you to think about in the lives of so many people that Jesus made a difference when he passed by. I've often thought about the great blessings in the lives of people when Jesus came into their life. And in the book of Matthew and the 9th chapter, you'll find that here is a man identified as Matthew who was a tax collector. He was a man who worked for the Roman government and no doubt hated by the Jewish people of that particular time. And yet when Jesus passed by, he looked at that man and he told that man, "Follow me." I'm sure that some of the disciples who were already following Jesus questioned that. Why would Jesus ask a tax collector to be one of the disciples and eventually one of the apostles? And no doubt they had a question in their mind. How could one who was a tax collector, who worked for the Roman occupation, be somebody that Jesus would call? They no doubt had a lot of questions, but when Jesus looked at that man, he saw that man could change. And here were people that saw nothing but a lowlife, who saw nothing but a thief, but Jesus saw a man who could make his life right and make a great change and be a disciple in the kingdom of God. Oh, what a difference, my friend, when Jesus passes by. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke and the 18th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Luke and the 18th chapter, notice, if you will, that Jesus is on his way to Calvary. And Jesus is in the city of Jericho. And as Jesus is departing the city of Jericho, there is a man who is sitting on the side of the road begging, and we know that he is identified as Bartimaeus. And notice, if you will, in your Bible, in verse 35, as he's begging, in verse 36, he hears a multitude passing by. Now that got his attention. Here's a man who did not have Social Security. He didn't have disability like we got in our country. This man lived on alms and the kindness and compassion of others. This man could not see to work. This man had no ability to go out and have an occupation. So what does this man do? He sits on the side of the road and he begs people to show kindness so he could get enough food. But when he hears this great multitude, he wants to know what's going on, and he asks what's going on, and look at verse 37 carefully. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Underscore, passing by. Have you ever thought that this man was in that vicinity when Jesus was leaving the city of Jericho? And notice what this man does. He doesn't just sit back. But this man begins to cry out for Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And notice the people begin to tell him in verse 39, "Be quiet." They said, "Hush up. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing us." But notice the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And I love verse 40. Jesus stood still. Underscore, stood still. He is on his way with a mission. His face is set steadfastly to Jerusalem, and yet because of the cry of one man, he stood still. And he said, "Come near." And he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And you remember that Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." And look at what the Bible says in verse 43. It says that immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I do wonder just how far he did follow. Did he follow him all the way to Jerusalem? Did he follow him all the way to Calvary? I do not know, but I do know one thing. When Jesus passed by, a man who was blind received his sight. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passes by. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 4th chapter for just a moment. And in the book of John in the 4th, or the 9th chapter, excuse me. In the book of John and the 9th chapter, we see another man who was blind. But look at what it says in verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, underscore that phrase again. Don't overlook it. How many people had passed by this man, I do not know. But notice that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now notice Jesus saw the man and Jesus saw his need. But look at the disciples. They said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They didn't see his need. They saw a problem. They wanted to know, who sinned? Why is he in this condition? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, Preacher, the reason I'm suffering is God's punishing me. That's not what Jesus taught here. Now, sometimes there may be consequences to our sins here, but we need to remember punishment is reserved for those who do not make their life right with God. That will come at the end of time. That will come in the day of judgment. But notice he did not say at this time that God is punishing him or his parents. Now, God may allow discipline to occur. We learn that from the Hebrew letter. But discipline is to make us stronger and better. But notice, if you will, most kindly, he said, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And notice, Jesus healed him. But look at what the people said about him in verse 8. The neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? All they saw when they looked at that man was a label. All they saw was a beggar. Someone who was probably a nuisance every day asking for money, every day asking for something to eat. And yet, my friend, when Jesus saw the man, he didn't just see the man, he saw his need. And oh, what a difference in the life of that man when Jesus passed by. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to examine something else with me, if you would, kindly. Take your Bible and look in the book of Mark in the 15th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Mark and the 15th chapter, notice this time someone's passing by Jesus. And Jesus is passing by them. Jesus is going up the hill of Calvary. Jesus is going to be nailed to the cross. And Jesus is stumbling as he's carrying this heavy cross. He'd already been scourged. He'd already been beaten. He'd already been spit upon and mistreated and ridiculed and all these things done to him. He'd already had a loss of blood. And notice in verse 21, they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment and think about something. This man's coming from Cyrene. And you may say, well, what's that mean, preacher? Well, my friend, it was the law that you would come sometime to the temple to worship. And many would have to save and save so that they would be able to travel, and they would not even be allowed to stay within the city of Jerusalem because it was so crowded. They would stay out in the countryside and come into the temple. And yet, when that centurion or when that soldier said, you help him with the cross, you know what that did? That made Simon unclean. He was touching an instrument of death. From the Old Testament, you touched an instrument of death, you couldn't go into the temple. But you know what, my friend? Notice if your Bible, it talks about his sons. And you'll remember that later on, Paul's going to talk about Rufus. Now, I can't prove it, but I've often wondered if that doesn't show maybe he was converted in his children. I've often thought about how could one who helped Jesus and saw Jesus not be touched by what he was doing. What a difference when Jesus passed by. But then if you take your Bible, what you see is a sad picture in verse 29. when Jesus is hanging on Calvary's cross, Jesus can't pass by. He's nailed there. He's hung there. But notice, others are passing by Him. But notice, they don't make a difference in His life. None of them stop and offer Him a drink of water. None of them stop and shed a tear. But in verse 29, it said, those who pass by blaspheme, wag their heads, saying, aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. What a difference when Jesus passed by compared to humanity when they looked at Jesus on the cross. I want to take that. I want to make 3 or 4 lessons in the lesson's yours. The first thing I want to recognize is what a difference when we go by and we see the need of people. When we see an individual today, just exactly what is it we see? Sometimes we may see just a label. We'll say, oh, I'll tell you, that person's nothing more than a drunkard. Have you ever thought, my friend, they could be converted? Or someone may say, my friend, I'll tell you, when I look out, I see nothing but a common prostitute. Have you ever thought they can be converted? I don't care what the sin is, my friend. What we need to do is erase the label and see a soul. And see that Jesus died for that soul, just like your soul. And I'll tell you, my friend, there's no difference in us and them except that we've been saved by the grace of God and by obedience to His Word. Sometimes we get all high and mighty and think how good we are. I tell you, my friend, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's not a sawdust bit of difference between us and them. I'll tell you something else. When Jesus died, He died so we can change. We don't stay in the life we live. We change. I see so many signs around Nashville, Tennessee, or in Athens, Alabama, that say, come as you are. My friend, that's the only way you can come as you are. But you don't stay that way. When I learn I'm in sin, I change so that I can become what God wants me to be. But then I want you to think about a second thing. Ever stop to think about someone you can help? Sometimes we go out of the way to keep from helping someone. I thought about Brother Guy talking about helping that young man. How many times have we stopped and helped someone? I'm not talking about someone who won't work. I'm talking about someone who has a need. When you look in your Bible in the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, you remember that there was that man who had been stripped and beaten and robbed. And it says in verse 31, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, what did he do? He passed by, but what did he do? He passed by on the other side. And then the Levite, he looked by in verse 32 and notice what he did. He passed by on the other side. He didn't even want to get close to the man that was robbed. You ever crossed the street so you wouldn't have to give money to a beggar? Ever tried to walk away from someone so you wouldn't have to make eye contact to help them? Now, my friend, I know there comes sometimes we have to make a judgment, but I'll tell you something. I think sometimes we need to have a little more compassion. We don't know how far some people have sunk. And sometimes it's not money. They're just looking for someone to pay attention to. You ever been to the nursing home, spent 5 minutes with someone? Just 5 minutes? You may not even know. I'm not even talking about members here, even though that's important we visit them. There's some people there who don't have children come see them. They have no family, and there they sit just as lonesome as could be, and we just pass them by. You ever thought about what it's going to be like one day if we're there? And we're wheeling our wheelchair up to the nurse's station just so the nurse will pay a little bit of attention to us. Do we pass them by? Or are we like Jesus? When we pass by and their life is changed because they see Christ in us. But that brings up the third thought in our study that we can apply tonight. Do you see the cross? You ever thought about when we pass by the cross, it's either going to make us become a disciple and we're going to fall, as Brother Austin said, at the feet of Jesus and worship Him, and it's going to light the fire within our heart, or we're just going to pass by and mock Him. But one thing you don't do is pass by with indifference, because if you see Him on the cross, it is going to touch your heart. It's either going to make you mad or it's going to touch your heart. If you truly looked at the cross, how could you be indifferent? I'm sure many of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. There was a man by the name of John Griffith who lived out west, and during the Great Depression, lost everything he had, so he moved his family east. And he had a lot of dreams he wanted to fulfill, wasn't going to be able to fulfill them, and he took a job working on the Mississippi River as a bridge operator. And one day he took his 8-year-old son Greg with him to work, and as they were watching the ships going up and down the mighty Mississippi, he was telling his sons where they would be going. And he had left the train trestle up, and he noticed at 1:07 it was time for the Memphis Express. He went up to let the train down, and he told his son, sit here. But when he went up, his son tried to follow him, and he fell off the catwalk into one of the clogs. The father would either have to let the bridge down and kill his own son, or let that train go off the bridge. And that father, with tears, pulled the lever. And it goes down and crushes his son. And as the train is going across, he's pounding upon the controller window out at the people saying, I just killed my son for you. I let him die. And he's watching people eating ice cream and smoking cigars and not paying attention. He said, doesn't it matter to you? And my friend, they just went on to the other side and it didn't matter to him because they didn't know and didn't care. I ask you one question tonight. That was an accident, but God did something far greater. His son didn't die by accident. He sent him to die. A greater death than being crushed by a clog. He sent him to die on the cross, and he did it because he loved you. How dare us pass by and say, ha ha, you who saved others, save yourself. Would you rather go to hell and be separated from God than to let him pass by your life and change it? I'll tell you something. There's nothing in this world worth holding on to that God can't change to make us more like his son. And I'll tell you what my goal is in life. Is never take advantage and never take for granted the love God has shown me. Have you ever thought about what Jesus did for you? If you need to obey the gospel tonight and be baptized, we pray you do so as together.